Chapter 9. It'll be a formative experience. Yeah, right. As Kim Dokja zoned out, staring at the elevator's shiny buttons, he finally understood the real reason Uriel had sent him on that trip in her stead. The jet lag was hitting him hard. To think he still had to go through work today before he could spend the weekend starfished on his bed. She had played her cards well. "I was hoodwinked," he remarked to the empty cabin. It was said with good humor, though. He could never stay angry at Uriel. The doors opened on Transcendence's floor. He blinked. "Speak of the devil-like angel and she shall appear." Uriel was talking with Yijihei in the lobby. "Morning," he said as he stepped out. "Uriel-shi, my apologies. It seems that I was so tired this morning I forgot to get you coffee while I was getting mine." He was only teasing her a bit, so he was surprised when she whipped around to him like a deer caught in the headlights.
"Dokja-shi, good morning," she said loudly. "That's quite all right. How was your trip?"
She went back to Yijihei without waiting for his answer. "Thank you for keeping me informed, Jihei. Let's talk some more about this later, all right?" The girl was staring at Kim Dokja in a rather unsettling manner.
"Sure thing, honey," she said,
and walked away with her eyes still on him. She only stopped gawking when she bumped into a counter. Uriel smiled at Kim Dokja.
"Shall we get to work, then?" she said brightly. "Dokja-shi must have a lot to tell me."
He followed her to their office, his stomach contracting with a feeling of doom. He hadn't forgotten about what had been revealed the previous day, per se. Nor had he expected that Yi Jihei and Kim Namun would keep quiet about such a juicy piece of gossip. But he had hoped that the only one to care would be Namgun Minyong. It was disheartening to have his dreams dashed so early in the morning. Uriel pointedly didn't bring up the subject of his soul bond with Yoo Jung-hyuk. They had enough work in the wake of the trip to keep them occupied the entire day, but it didn't prevent a strange awkwardness from looming over them. Kim Dokja felt restless. What was the problem exactly? Had she realized that he hadn't been completely honest with her during their first meeting? Did she resent it? It was difficult to apologize if she didn't address the matter first. As uncomfortable as the atmosphere in their office was, the rest of the company was worse. It was a Saturday, so only the staff that followed Team 999's schedule was at work. The news spread so quickly that when Kim Dokja emerged for his break, every employee he saw stared at him. It was no surprise when someone finally appeared at his desk to inform him that he was being summoned by the president. What was surprising was that the gopher turned out to be their daily operations director in person. Kim Dokja raised his eyebrows at Kyrgios. He hadn't even known this guy was on the Tuesday to Saturday schedule. Nevertheless, he followed him without comment. Kyrgios let them in Namgun Minyong's office. She was sitting in an intimidatingly big chair, master poised at her feet like an ominous guard dog. Frankly, Namgun Minyong looked like a mafia boss. But the effect was lost on Kim Dokja, who still couldn't get over the fact that their CEO took her dog to work. Who did that? "Ah, there you are," she said with an ominous glint in her eye. "Thank you, Kyrgios." It was an obvious dismissal, yet Kyrgios, once again taking Kim Dokja aback, glared at her and didn't move.
"I saw that interview with Yoo Jung-hyuk and the Zarathustra woman," he told Kim Dokja abrupt. "Was there really a need to antagonize her?"
"Uriel-shi seemed satisfied with the way Yoo Jung-hyuk handled himself," Kim Dokja said, brandishing humility like a shield.
"Uriel," Kyrgios said darkly. "She can advise on censoring oneself the day she gets rid of that potty mouth."
Kim Dokja didn't quite manage to hold in a twitch of his lips. He wasn't wrong. In fact, Kim Dokja had been counting on her personality to obtain her approval.
"Kyrgios," Namgun Minyong tried again. "What's wrong?" he all but barked. "We're here to talk about work, aren't we?"
It took Kim Dokja a fair amount of effort to keep his face blank. Kyrgios was probably just annoyed that personal issues were starting to take too much space in his office. But the backup was both unexpected and welcome. It was clear that Namgun Minyong hadn't seen his warning coming either.
"I thought the interview was perfectly fine," she said after a long moment.
"Of course you did," he scoffed,
and Kim Dokja fought back a smile again. They both knew that Namgun Minyong would never resent Yoo Jung-hyuk speaking his truth there.
"Then you've got no problem with his work, have you?"
Startled, Namgun Minyong and Kim Dokja met eyes. If pressed, Kim Dokja wouldn't deny that he had coached Yoo Jung-hyuk for the interview. It was his job to take responsibility for these things. But Namgun Minyong didn't ask. She grimaced. Feeling her owner relax, Master gave up her stiff stance and flopped on her side with a woof.
"You won't disappear again," Namgun Minyong said reluctantly.
"Unless President Neem fires me," he retorted cheekily.
Then, feeling somewhat compelled to match the spirit of concession she was displaying, he added,
"He has my number now."
She sighed.
"I wish you'd explain. Why come now? Why not a year ago?"
Kim Dokja's heart gave one harsh thud in his chest.
"I don't believe it's President Neem's business."
"No," Kyrgios agreed. "And we're done here. Get back to work."
He bodily turned Kim Dokja around. Namgun Minyong admitted her defeat with a fatalistic hand gesture, which, if anything, was all the proof Kim Dokja needed that these two were closer than husband and wife. Bemused, Kim Dokja let himself be expelled from the room. The door slammed shut behind him. All in all, the soulmate revelation set more tongues wagging than he had hoped, but had less of an effect than he had feared. People like Jung Hyeong and Gabriel went out of their way to tease him about it, but the majority of the employees simply smiled at him in the corridors like he was some delightful novelty. Yi Hyung-sung cornered him in the bathroom the following week to apologize for his behavior.
"I hope it doesn't look like I'm ill at ease because of Dokja-si," he said with a sheepish bow. "I was really surprised when Ji-hae told me. I have never met anyone's soulmate before, you see. My family is pretty conservative about them."
Based on Kim Dokja's own military experience, he would guess that Yi Hyun-sung's stint in the forces hadn't helped.
"It's fine," Kim Dokja said. "Really, you can just treat me like I'm Yoo Jung-hyuk's distant cousin or something."
"And please let him get out of the toilet." Yi Hyun-sung beamed.
"That makes sense. A bit like a family member, right? Thank you for being understanding, Dokja-si."
Kim Dokja didn't feel very understanding. He wished that everyone would forget about this already. Why had Yoo Jung-hyuk decided to open his big mouth? That had been completely unnecessary. The least the jerk could do was keep his distance and not make matters worse. His store-bought kimbap was yanked out of his hands and launched into the garbage bin. Kim Dokja stared blankly at Yoo Jung-hyuk.
"I bought that," he gritted out.
"Stop eating trash."
Yoo Jung-hyuk dropped a lunchbox on the table. When all Kim Dokja did was look at it, Yoo Jung-hyuk frowned and pushed it into his chest. Kim Dokja's hands closed around it on reflex. His anger fizzled out. It was replaced by a pit in his stomach.
"Yoo Jung-hyuk," he said, his lips numb.
"Would you mind not feeding the rumors?"
"I'm feeding you,"
Yoo Jung-hyuk said, sitting in front of him with his own meal.
"Eat."
Yoo Jung-hyuk only cooked lunchboxes for the people he deemed important in his life. Even Lee Sol-hwa had had to wait 2 months into their relationship before Yoo Jung-hyuk started packing lunch for her. Kim Dokja must have been coming down with something. His throat was so tight he found himself unable to finish the whole box. Yoo Jung-hyuk watched him, his expression unreadable.
"Mind if I take the leftovers home?"
Kim Dokja said meekly. Yoo Jung-hyuk looked away.
"Just bring the box back tomorrow."
"Ajisi?"
Kim Dokja stopped. "Oh, hey," he said, smiling at the young woman jogging toward him through the subway crowd. Morning, Yi Jihei. Running late?
If I'm late, what does that make you?
I'd say Yoo Il-shi is a more permissive boss than Yoo Jung-hyuk, he said, unconcerned.
You're just lazy, Yi Jihei grumbled.
He shrugged. They made their way through the station and up the stairs to the street. Once the greetings were out of the way, the air between them turned uncomfortable. Since she had learned the truth, Yi Jihei no longer seemed to know how to treat him. Kim Dokja rubbed at his neck. He actually preferred her previous animosity to this indecisiveness of hers. There was something to be said about Kim Namun's brashness. He was the only member of the team who had taken the soul bond in stride. Halfway down the street, Yi Jihei visibly gathered her courage.
Ajisi?
Hmm?
What are your intentions toward Master?
He looked down at her blazing eyes.
What?
He said. Did she hear herself when she talked? Did their situation look like a Jane Austen novel to her?
You showed up so suddenly. Are you trying to take advantage of Master's vulnerability after his divorce? He has other options in his life, you know.
Kim Dokja put a hand up to slow her down, overwhelmed by the use of the word vulnerability in a conversation about Yoo Jung-hyuk.
Wait, what are you picturing here? Isn't your imagination running too far?
Yi Jihei clutched the strap of her backpack.
I just want the best for Master, she said, looking conflicted. He's a good person. He did a lot for me.
Kim Dokja dared to put his hand on her shoulder.
I want the best for him, too.
Really?
She said, squinting at him suspiciously.
Yi Jihei, he's my soulmate.
The words seemed to mellow her down.
Just making sure, she muttered.
He patted her shoulder and let go.
I'm just here to support him, that's all.
She scoffed and tossed her hair, shutting the emotional tone of the conversation.
Well, do what you want. It's not like Master needs you or anything. He was fine before you came along.
Sure.
Is it true he cooks for you now?
Are you jealous?
I could stab you for that food, Ajisi.
I'm not sharing.
The day of the release of the World Championships trailer video came. Most of Transcendence's employees gathered in the media room to watch it. It was an energetic montage with catchy music and handsome shots of every team competing. Yoo Jung-hyuk appeared on a velvet background, his glare chill-inducing, and a fur-lined cape thrown over his shoulders. The symbol of a golden crown gleamed over his head. Yi Hyun-sung came next, flexing one of his biceps in a valiant pose as a silver sword gleamed behind him. Yi Jihei was grinning against a backdrop of tempestuous sea, and Kim Namun followed with his wild snarl and the stylized wings on his back. Supreme King, Steel Sword, Ghost Fleet, and Delusional Demon in their full glory. Everyone clapped when it was over. Namgun Minyoung nodded in satisfaction.
Bravo, bravo,
Uriel acclaimed, delighted. Yoo Jung-hyuk was standing, arms crossed, next to Kim Dokja's seat. Kim Dokja couldn't resist nudging him.
Look at you. Didn't you perform well for the fans in the end?
He teased. Teenage girls could put up a poster of this in their rooms.
Be quiet,
he scoffed.
You were complaining so much about that cape, but it turned out pretty good. I didn't complain.
Right, so you were just glaring at the camera because you were so happy to be there. A hand landed on his head and forced his neck to bow.
Be quiet, Kim Dokja.
Yoo Jung-hyuk repeated, stressing every word with a push.
Are you bullying the minion, Captain?
Kim Namun said, grinning.
Would that count as spousal abuse?
Jung Hyeong mused.
Or wait, soul, spirit, spiritual abuse.
What the hell is that?
People laughed. Kim Dokja freed himself from Yoo Jung-hyuk's grip, embarrassed. He shouldn't have started this with an audience. Yoo Jung-hyuk was far more relaxed around him lately. He no longer tensed when a text message alerted him to a fulguration. and when he entered a room where Kim Dokcho was already present, he often sought a position nearby. Since he clearly didn't care what people thought, it was up to Kim Dokcho to ensure that they presented a professional front, not this. At least Kyrgios had ignored their squabbling, and Namgun Minyoung was smiling. Uriel, though, she looked troubled as she watched them. It made a weight drop in his stomach. Kim Dokcho got to his feet and excused himself, pretexting an urgent need for a cup of water. But luck wasn't on his side. As the rest of the Transcendent staff dispersed, Team 999 amiably followed him to the break room. At the back of the group, Uriel was deep in another conversation with Yi Jihei. They both looked solemn, but Kim Namun was monologuing loudly about the trailer and the upcoming championship, preventing Kim Dokcho from hearing what they were talking about. Kim Dokcho made a beeline for the water cooler and got himself that drink, trying to ignore the two women. Yoo Jung-hyuk detached himself from the conversation of his male teammates. He approached him, his brow furrowed.
Kim Dokcho.
What is it?
Do you have any allergy?
That startled Kim Dokcho into a laugh. Are you only asking now? What if you had poisoned me earlier, huh, Jung-hyuk-a? Ah, he was doing it again. It was really hard not to tease Yoo Jung-hyuk now that the guy had mellowed out.
I realize that I don't trust you to tell me on your own if you have any,
Yoo Jung-hyuk said darkly.
Hey, allergies?
Yoo Jung-hyuk cut him off. None, Kim Dokcho said with an annoyed smile.
Food you don't eat?
Tomatoes. Yoo Jung-hyuk nodded. He took his phone out to make note of it, which was the point where Kim Dokcho's chest got so tight he had to avert his eyes from him. Don't you think so, Jung-hyuk-si? Uriel asked suddenly. Yoo Jung-hyuk looked askance at her strained smile.
What?
Aren't you worried, too, about Demon King of Salvation? Kim Dokcho nearly choked on his water.
This again,
Yoo Jung-hyuk said, frowning at Yi Jihei. The girl kicked at the ground. It's just that he's never been gone that long, she said. It was true that it had been a while. Kim Dokcho had been with Transcendence Gaming for a couple of months at this point. He could hardly believe that the time had passed so quickly. Of course, he'd like to go back to watching the streams. The problem was, he worked during them now. Uriel watched them on her work computer, but being Yoo Jung-hyuk's mod was part of her job. If Kim Dokcho tried to join, he ran the risk of her catching him in the act. That would be unprofessional. And what if she saw a glimpse of the username on his screen?
He was gone much longer once,
Yoo Jung-hyuk disagreed.
And he gave notice this time. You worry for nothing. That guy is crafty. Whatever he's doing, he's fine. Are you talking about Captain's mod?
Yi Hyun-sung said. Young, you're never on Captain's streams. Kim Namun said to him. You should join in sometimes.
Maybe I will.
Yi Hyun-sung replied, smiling.
You guys are always talking about that Demon King person. They sound fun.
Demon King is a very fun person, Uriel agreed enthusiastically, and very nice, and very loyal to Jung-hyuk-si. To Kim Dokcho's surprise, Yi Jihei nodded with energy. He felt touched. Did the team really talk about Demon King of Salvation so often? He hadn't even thought Yi Jihei liked that internet odyssey of hers. He's been your companion for a very long time, right, Jung-hyuk-si? Uriel said. Don't you miss him? Yoo Jung-hyuk looked away.
He'll be back, he said.
Despite his dismissive words, his jaw was taut. Maybe he was thinking of those 18 months when Demon King of Salvation did his military service. Thinking of that time of his life himself, Kim Dokcho found that he wasn't eager to repeat it. The streams, they were fun. He should really find a way to go back to them. Aren't you playing a bit too hard to get? Yi Jihei muttered to Yoo Jung-hyuk's shoes, pouting. Uriel elbowed her. Seeing the both of them so obviously dissatisfied with the conversation, Kim Dokcho opened his mouth.
Didn't he say some stuff had changed in his life? Maybe he got married or had a kid. Much as he hated bringing it up, a lot of his age mates were at that point in their lives. His busybody of a neighbor certainly liked to ask him when he would find a wife and start churning out babies. He might need a bit more time to get settled.
You know about DK, Ajisi,
Kim Namun said. For some reason, Uriel beamed at Yoo Jung-hyuk. Did Jung-hyuk-si tell you about him, Dok-ja-si? Yoo Jung-hyuk's shoulders tensed. He stared at the wall behind Kim Namun, apparently deep in thought. Shit. Kim Dok-ja hadn't been too obvious, had he? He reviewed his words, but nothing he had said sounded suspicious.
I just watch the streams sometimes. I told you I followed Yoo Jung-hyuk's career, didn't I, Uriel-si?
Oh, right, she said, flustered. He knew why she had done that, now. You did, Lee Ji-hae said. So you were stalking him before you got here.
What's wrong with following your soulmate's career, exactly?
If even Dok-ja-si watches the streams, I guess I really have to take a look,
Lee Hyung-sung said. Kim Dok-ja should change the subject before they all tried to turn this into a viewing party. Or should he create a new Starstream account to back up his claims? The best thing to do might be to retire Demon King of Salvation and come back with another online persona. But the thought made his heart sink. He had gotten attached to this one. Yoo Jung-hyuk's gaze swiveled. It bored into his temple.
You said you used to work for Minosoft.
Kim Dok-ja blinked at the non-sequitur.
Yes, he said, bemused.
When?
Yoo Jung-hyuk asked. Alarms blared in Kim Dok-ja's head. He didn't know what Yoo Jung-hyuk was fishing for, but he was disinclined to give it to him.
A few years ago, he said vaguely.
Yoo Jung-hyuk's eyes narrowed. Kim Dok-ja felt himself start to sweat. He shored up his mental defenses. He couldn't afford a fulguration now. If he worked at it on top of the PSI syndrome, the TAM syndrome had to be good for something, right? Master, Lee Ji-hae said, when the silence prolonged itself.
Since you're a manager, Yoo Jung-hyuk said slowly, you should get moderating rights on the stream channel. What's your account?
Oh, the utter bastard. The cup of water threatened to slip from Kim Dok-ja's sweaty palm. Yoo Jung-hyuk had dragged his feet for months before allowing Uriel moderating rights. Just 2 weeks ago, he had ignored Kim Namun when the guy suggested appointing new mods. This wasn't a show of trust. This was Yoo Jung-hyuk attempting to confirm a theory. How could Yoo Jung-hyuk already suspect? Kim Dok-ja had been so careful. Demon King of Salvation had never hidden that he was Korean and a man, and his age range could be estimated from the year he had done his military service, but that was the extent of personal information he had given in the chat room. Should Kim Dok-ja have kept his mouth shut today? Wouldn't silence have sounded even more suspicious when everyone else was participating in the conversation?
Ah, wait, Uriel exclaimed. Jung-hyuk-si, please wait until Demon King is back before naming a new mod.
He is the one not here to do his job.
Kim Dok-ja bit his tongue, not to remind Yoo Jung-hyuk that he was not being paid for this.
But wouldn't it be bad if you thought you were replacing him?
Uriel argued. You can't play with people's feelings this way, Jung-hyuk-si.
Yeah, Master. You should be more considerate. What if Demon King doesn't come back because of you?
Yoo Jung-hyuk looked at them in incredulity. Then at Kim Dok-ja in outrage. Kim Dok-ja didn't let himself react. The door of the break room opened.
Are you all still lazing about? Namgun Minyoung said. Hop back to training. We have a lot to work on before the championship.
Yoo Jung-hyuk tisked, but he couldn't disobey an order from her. He trudged out with the others, his stare burning into Kim Dok-ja until he disappeared in the corridor.
You are the dumbest person I have ever met, Han Si-young said.
She sounded admiring.
Shut up.
Morose, Kim Dokja sucked on the lemon candy in his mouth and threw the wrapping into a trash can as they passed it by. "It has to be pure talent," she insisted. "Who the hell hides something from their soulmate?" Kim Dokja bit on the candy. He knew, okay? If there was one thing that every media, every first-hand account, every piece of common wisdom could agree on about soulmates, it was that keeping secrets from yours was an exercise in futility. Since there was no way to tell when a fulguration would occur, they would naturally see things you didn't want them to see. You could take steps to lower risk, but you couldn't erase it. Talk shows on TV were full of people bemoaning the impossibility of throwing surprise parties or popping the big question unexpectedly on their other half. In a soulmate couple, affairs weren't even worth mentioning. "I have the syndrome." "Yeah, so he still hasn't gotten any fulguration from you?" The candy split in two with an audible crack. When he didn't answer, Han Seong stared at him like one would look at a puppy peeing on a carpet. "You know this should be a good thing, right?" she said. "Nature is healing and all that."
"You're not helping."
"How am I supposed to help, exactly? You're digging yourself deeper so enthusiastically, should I throw you a shovel?" Kim Dokja hunched his shoulders against the chilly wind. Summer was coming in slowly this year. The trees dotting the bank of the canal were shielding them from the sun. A group of children were chasing each other with happy cries. At least they were keeping warm. "Seriously," Han Seong said, still watching him. "Why don't you just tell him? He kept you as a mod all this time. He can't dislike you that much."
"I can't."
"Why?" "It would probably be better to tell you, Jinghyuk, rather than risk him figuring it out on his own, right? It was just an online username, nothing that could create that much anxiety." Kim Dokja's teeth ground the candy into sweet-tasting dust. If he had hoped that Han Seong would lose patience and change the subject, he was disappointed.
"He'd be angry," he finally said.
He would have every right to be. Kim Dokja had been poking his nose into his soulmate's life for years, talking to him without ever revealing who he was. Back then, he used to soothe himself with the thought that Yoo Jin-hyuk had probably long guessed that the other half of his soul was behind the username Demon King of Salvation. How else would a random stranger on the internet have known so many things about him? But Yoo Jin-hyuk hadn't even known he existed. Thus, Kim Dokja's only defense was revealed for what it was, a lie he told himself to excuse his own actions. Han Seong snorted. "And here I thought, making people angry was your favorite hobby. You actually care about his feelings. What a lucky guy."
"It's not the same thing," he muttered.
He made Yoo Jin-hyuk angry plenty of times before, but this was... it would be...
"Yeah, I know," Han Seong said.
Her tone was suddenly utterly sober. He tensed. Her eyes seemed to pierce right through him. "You're afraid he'll cut you off," she said. He stopped walking. Sometimes there was nothing more hateful than knowing one person in his life saw him so clearly. If Yoo Jin-hyuk threw Kim Dokja out of his life, that was one thing. But if he turned his anger on both Kim Dokja and Demon King of Salvation, especially now that Yoo Jin-hyuk knew to keep a tight lid on the fulgurations. If this happened, if Kim Dokja lost Yoo Jin-hyuk entirely...
"You do care," Han Seong said, sounding wondering.
"I can't believe that guy has got you wrapped around his little finger and you never introduced me."
"Han Seong..."
Something in his voice or face made her relent. She punched his arm without strength. "Hey, come on. Why are you immediately jumping to the worst-case scenario? He is tied to you for life, anyway. Like he could ignore you that long."
"Reassuring," he mumbled.
"Isn't it? In any case, he can't be too right in the head if he's compatible with you," she said. Her voice was nearly fond. "He's already suspecting, so the idea can't be that much of a shock."
"Not reassuring."
You're too picky. Fine, don't listen to me. But at least do something fun while you brood. You want to get ice cream? Kim Dokja did not want to get ice cream. Kim Dokja thought that no sane person should want to get ice cream in this weather. But he also knew better than to refuse Han Siyoung's sugar-spun olive branches, so he sighed and let himself be towed into the shop. Whether it was Demon King of Salvation or Kim Dokja, he just wanted to stay close to Yoo Jung-hyuk. Was it too much to ask?
Reader, get online.
Kim Dokja only refrained from hitting his head on the desk because of his location.
A reader.
Can't. I'm at work.
You're watching this at work again?
Yoo Jung-hyuk said, his expression judgmental.
A reader.
Says the guy who plays video games all day.
Flying Fox.
Reader, number one model employee.
Reaching Nirvana.
This seems a little sloppy on your part, reader, don't you think?
Mass production maker.
Boss makes a dollar, I make a dime. That's why I watch streams on company time.
A reader.
NPM gets it.
A reader.
Wait, why are you the one who gets it? You're one of YJH's top three donors.
Mass production maker.
Takes a bow.
Reaching Nirvana has sponsored 1,000 coins. I can play with you if you need a teammate, Yoo Jung-hyuk. Flying Fox.
Speaking of people making a bid for the top three.
Kim Dokja wrinkled his nose. He must have accidentally cursed Yoo Jung-hyuk when he talked about Nirvana during that first stream. Now that Yoo Jung-hyuk's Starstream channel was reasonably big, Nirvana had found it. Kim Dokja didn't know why they were so obsessed, but they had been hounding Yoo Jung-hyuk about a collab for weeks. Yoo Jung-hyuk ignored the very obvious flashing message.
Reader, what's wrong?
Kim Dokja's hands froze on his keyboard. Were it not for the total absence of an interrogative tilt at the end of that sentence, one could nearly have assumed it was a show of concern. Why, though?
A reader.
Nothing's wrong?
Yoo Jung-hyuk gave a long look at his camera. Kim Dokja's heart beat harder in his chest. Had he sounded more cynical than usual? More listless? The truth was that these were Kim Dokja's last weeks in Minosoft. His contract wasn't set to be renewed, and he still hadn't found a new job. All his free time lately was spent writing applications. Han Siyoung kept saying that she'd employ him as her editor if all else failed, but she wasn't earning so much money that she could make that kind of promise. Yoo Jung-hyuk looked away.
You're playing with me on Saturday stream, reader.
Again? This was the third time. Wasn't Yoo Jung-hyuk getting on just fine with his Zarathustra teammates now? Wait a minute. Kim Dokja did a double take at his calendar.
A reader.
You can't be serious.
Asmodeus.
Oh, this is going to be good.
Reaching Nirvana has sponsored 1,000 coins. Play with me instead, Yoo Jung-hyuk. A reader.
For the Valentine's Day scenario, YJH? Seriously?
Asmodeus.
Can't wait to watch you two idiots holding hands to eradicate cherubs, LMFAO.
What?
Yoo Jung-hyuk said flatly. Kim Dokja fought the urge to slap a hand to his face.
A reader.
Don't you have a girlfriend these days?
Reaching Nirvana.
He does?
Yoo Jung-hyuk narrowed suspicious eyes at the chat.
She doesn't play.
A reader.
So I get to be your side piece for Valentine's Day. Goody.
Persephone.
Poor reader. This sounds like a toxic relationship.
A reader.
Persephone also gets me. CYJH, can't you be more understanding of your companion through life and death?
The nature of the event did explain why Yoo Jung-hyuk didn't feel like going through the awkwardness of asking his female teammates to partner up. Still, common sense demanded that Kim Dokja spend his entire weekend working on his job applications. If he worked hard enough, maybe he'd reward himself with a discounted cake from the store for his birthday on Sunday.
Han Seong wouldn't be free before Monday to celebrate it with him. On Saturday, Kim Dokja opened his eyes to his small and empty apartment. He pictured 2 days of it remaining small and empty. He pictured a single piece of cake on his kitchen table. He was reminded so viscerally of his high school days, he felt 16 again. He logged in on WOS.
IB Supreme King has agreed to your party request. Demon King of Salvation, good afternoon. Demon King of Salvation. Why are there so many people connected on the stream? Demon King of Salvation. It can't be that interesting to watch two heterosexual men go through a couple scenario.
Had Asmodeus or Flying Fox plugged this stream somewhere? There were a lot of new Starstream users. The chat was so active that his messages would get lost if he tried to talk through it. He would just keep an eye on it on his phone and communicate with Yoo Jung-hyuk through the game chat.
You should use a mic, Yoo Jung-hyuk said.
Demon King of Salvation. Absolutely not.
And have Yoo Jung-hyuk hear his voice? Have the entire internet hear his voice? Not in a million years.
Fine. He must be a squid with the speed you type at anyway.
Flying Fox.
LMAO, this is already off to a great start.
Demonic Judge of Fire.
Eyes wide, mouth open, Kaomoji.
Demonic Judge of Fire.
Squid. Cute. Blushing wide eyes emoji.
On the stream, Yoo Jung-hyuk opened Demon King of Salvation's profile.
You did grind,
he said, sounding darkly satisfied.
Demon King of Salvation. No, I didn't.
Who had the time to grind video games when they could be reading web novels? Yoo Jung-hyuk frowned.
You gained 30 levels since last time.
Yes, because even if Yoo Jung-hyuk was using his new alt instead of his main account when they played together, his level was rising so fast it had been making Kim Dokja feel insecure. Something had to be done.
Demon King of Salvation. I'll remind you that if you're rich and underleveled enough, you can just pay coins to level up.
There was a silence as Yoo Jung-hyuk visibly calculated the insane amount of game coins one would need to level up 30 times in a row. WOS wasn't a game where you could buy coins with real money either.
Flying Fox.
Dot, dot, dot.
Persephone.
Dot, dot, dot.
Mass Production Maker.
Dot, dot, dot.
Master of Paradise.
Dot, dot, dot.
Asmodeus.
Dot, dot, dot.
Before Kim Dokja could complain about the peanut gallery, the chat was buried under questions from other users.
Mass Production Maker.
Lol, you guys aren't used to our Demon King yet, huh?
The chaos only doubled at the next message to pop up.
Powercliff has sponsored 200 coins. Demon King, hi. I actually work for WOS. We've been trying to get in contact with you about that username bug you found.
Kim Dokja huffed. Yes, he knew. He had very ostensibly been ignoring their messages. Too many Minosoft employees watched Yoo Jung-hyuk's streams these days. Kim Dokja wasn't talking to a colleague on his day off. How about they took care of his official bug reports instead of hounding a stranger on the internet? The stream continued. Like the last two times they had teamed up, Kim Dokja was content to plant himself in a corner of each room and provide a steady fire of commentary, while IB Supreme King mowed down all the enemies on his own.
Demon King of Salvation. Do you mind if I take that sexy devil horns equipment? I think it would really work with my look.
You don't have a look.
Demon King of Salvation. That's mean, YJH. You're a lousy date.
Watching two heterosexual men go through a couple scenario must have been riveting after all, because the replay video went viral. Kim Dokja couldn't claim he understood the internet's tastes. People at the office started talking about Demon King of Salvation. The first time he heard his username spoken in the break room,
Kim Dokja was appalled. Nobody knew Demon King of Salvation's identity, but irrationally it felt like a breach of privacy. He kept his head down and gritted his teeth. Suddenly it seemed like everyone was bringing up the topic. Yet, bafflingly, the tone was always positive. The opinion in Mindasoft's employees on Demon King of Salvation was that he was a fun and smart person. "He would be a good QA tech," Deputy Yoon said one day, to a chorus of entertained agreement from the rest of their team. Deputy Yoon noticed Kim Dokja staring at him.
"What?" Deputy Yoon said.
"How about you say that to HR so they sign my renewal?" Kim Dokja thought.
"Nothing."
Morbidly curious, he eventually answered his Starstream private messages. No sooner had a reader provided a full description of the username bug than it was corrected with an alacrity Kim Dokja had never seen on his professional reports. Minosoft even kindly changed his WOS username to Demon King of Salvation, as thanks, despite the fact that it breached the game's length limit. When they went as far as to offer to intervene with Starstream to allow him to change his name there so he could match between the two platforms, he finally got it. Ah. It was a PR stunt. They were trying to capitalize on Yoo Jung-hyuk's notoriety. Dark humor rose in him. He had no doubt that if he sold his identity to Minosoft at this point, they would keep him on board just so they could parade him on their social accounts. He could get his contract renewed. But another company had finally followed up on his application. Revenge that nobody but him could see was still revenge. Yoo Sung-a didn't seem to understand why he was so cheery, but when the time came, he strode out the door with a smile.
"Demon King, you good?"
Yoo Jung-hyuk asked in his next stream.
"Demon King of Salvation."
"Never better."
Kim Dokja stayed on his guard for the next few days, but the topic of Demon King of Salvation didn't come up again in Transcendence. The ways of Survival World Championship loomed ever closer. Training for Team 999 had reached a feverish intensity. Their breaks were short, and they were no longer going home early, instead often leaving the office even after Jang Hyung's team. Namgun Minyoung was in the room with them all the time now, coaching and making sure they weren't taking it too far. More than once, Kim Dokja saw her kick the team out of the office as he was heading home himself. Yoo Jung-hyuk was the one pushing them the hardest. Lee Hyun-sung, Lee Ji-hae, and Kim Nam-moon took it with equanimity, eager to meet his expectations. Uriel was also cheerfully encouraging about it. "I like Jung-hyuk-si's attitude lately. He is really bringing the trophy home," she said. "He'll definitely show the world that last year was only an accident. Don't you think so, Dokja-si?" Kim Dokja hummed noncommittal. One morning, he entered the lobby to a commotion happening near the sports room. A few salarymen from other floors glanced nervously in that direction. They piled into the elevator as soon as it came and stabbed at the buttons. Kim Dokja didn't bother running to try and catch the cabin before it left. Instead, he approached the two muscular figures fighting at the back of the lobby. Frankly, it wasn't much of a fight. Namgun Minyoung had Yoo Jung-hyuk in a stranglehold. Despite his struggles, all he was managing so far was to escape the hand reaching for his arms.
"Should I put you over my knee?" she said.
There was nothing teasing about her demeanor today. Her face was dark.
"Let go," Yoo Jung-hyuk snapped. "I won't tolerate a disciple of mine being such a fool."
She caught one of his wrists.
"Look, do you even see what you have done?"
She shook the hand before his eyes. His knuckles were red and looked inflamed. He was in sportswear and breathing hard. Even if Kim Dokja hadn't seen it happen himself, it would have been obvious that he had gone overboard on the punching bag. Namgun Minyoung was right. This was one of the stupidest things Yoo Jung-hyuk could do with a championship so close. His hands were his work tools. Yoo Jung-hyuk stubbornly averted his eyes. They fell on Kim Dokja. He stiffened.
"Allow me," Kim Dokja said to Namgun Minyoung.
He dug into his satchel, producing the salve he had just bought. Namgun Minyoung blinked, but thrust Yoo Jung-hyuk's hand toward him.
"Kim Dokja,"
Yoo Jung-hyuk ground out.
Kim Dokja spread the paste over the abrasions with brisk efficiency, earning himself a hiss.
I did warn you fair and square that I was watching you, Jung-hyuk, he said, blank-faced. You're the one who ignored my message.
Because closing the fulguration would have required interrupting his rampage. That was what Kim Dokja had been counting on, and what Yoo Jung-hyuk had known he was counting on.
But out!
Yoo Jung-hyuk had thought viciously, and had kept on his path to self-destruction. Kim Dokja finished with one hand, caught the other one, and unwound the boxing wrap that had already come half undone.
Is it still ongoing?
Yoo Jung-hyuk grated. No. Once both hands had been treated, Yoo Jung-hyuk shrugged off Namgun Minyoung's grip and strode back toward the showers. They watched him go. Namgun Minyoung shoved her phone at Kim Dokja. Call me next time. He obediently saved her contact information. Their eyes met. Everyone in the office thought that Yoo Jung-hyuk's increasingly short temper and sudden workaholism were signs of his will to redeem himself after his defeat in the previous championship. They alone knew better. Namgun Minyoung's expression was complicated.
9 days to go, she said, grim.
Kim Dokja nodded.
I'll stay and make sure he doesn't sneak a few more hits, Namgun Minyoung said.
He handed her the salve.
I'll tell the rest of the team you'll be there shortly. They could only keep watch and hope that the incoming storm wouldn't hit too hard.
Chapter 10. There was a day marked in gray on Kim Dokja's phone calendar. The text field was blank. It was just a solid block of gray in the middle of a week. 1 year ago, that day had fallen right between the second qualifier round of the WOS Championship and the finals, but the championship schedule had been moved around a bit, and this year, the gray day was set to land just before the second qualifier round started. Was it better this way? Was it worse? Kim Dokja didn't know. This was new territory, and he couldn't predict how badly Yoo Jung-hyuk would react. The first qualifier round began. All over the world, those teams who had once gathered in friendship in Toronto logged in for a ruthless series of battles. Team 999 spent 2 days holed up in their room. Employees tiptoed past their door. Only Namgun Minyoung and Han Donghoon were in and out, the latter constantly muttering to himself about bandwidth and equipment performance. The break room was empty the whole time, people instead gathering in the media room, where the screen was always tuned to the competition feed. Team 999 emerged victorious. The office gave a unanimous cheer. Uriel clapped with delight and made noise about organizing a quick party.
We haven't won the title yet,
was Yoo Jung-hyuk's bleak answer. He turned his back on them and dragged his teammates right back to training. There were splutters and surprised laughter behind him. Namgun Minyoung sent Kim Dokja a tired look and trailed after her athletes.
You can review the last matches, then you're resting whether you want to or not,
Kim Dokja heard her say.
Dokja-si, Uriel said.
Yes.
Does it seem to you...
Uriel faltered.
No, it's nothing.
Her expression was uneasy. It looked like she had finally realized that something was amiss. But she didn't bring up the subject, and Kim Dokja let the conversation die. The days passed. The block of gray on Kim Dokja's calendar loomed ever closer. Although Kim Dokja did his best to act like normal, by the time it was the afternoon before the gray day, he had trouble focusing on his tasks. He hadn't received a fulguration in a while. He wished one would come so he had a better idea of what was going on in Yoo Jung-hyuk's head. Over at her desk, Uriel swore softly. She stabbed at her keyboard's backspace key with a frown. It seemed she wasn't faring any better than him today. Was he distracting her? It was hard to hide his mood when they worked so closely. He was about to offer a coffee run to energize them both, and hopefully clear his mind, when their door slammed open. Namgun Minyoung swept in, her usually tan skin 2 shades too pale.
My idiot dog ate something she shouldn't have,
she told Kim Dokja.
I need to take her to the vet. You...
Go, Kim Dokja said, already getting up.
I'll keep an eye out. She was out as fast as she'd come in. He made to follow her, but Uriel called his name. She got to her feet, twisting her hands in anxiety. Is there anything I can do? She said. He managed a smile for her.
It's probably nothing, but I'll have to trouble you with handing that report in late.
She waved him out the door before he had even finished speaking. He felt a wave of fondness for her. None of his previous supervisors would have ever let him get off that easy. When he reached the training room, Namgun Minyong was bundling her huge dog into her arms like she weighed nothing. Master listlessly laid her chin on her shoulder. I'll try not to be gone for long, Namgun Minyong announced to the room. Kim Dokja is in charge while I'm away. She was gone before Kim Namun could do more than open his mouth to question that. The young man threw Kim Dokja a surprised look instead.
Are you secretly a professional coach, Ajisi?
I'm just here to refill water bottles, he said with a bland smile. Yoo Jung-hyuk was glaring at him. Kim Dokja took a seat in the corner and opened his web novel app.
Go ahead and ignore me.
Lee Hyung-sung, Lee Ji-hae, and Kim Namun exchanged glances, but Yoo Jung-hyuk was happy enough to take him at his word. Training resumed. Hours passed. Namgun Minyong sent Kim Dokja the occasional update on her situation, but it seemed that she would be gone longer than she had hoped. The summer sun slowly sank toward the horizon. Rush hour started in the street below, then trickled to an end. There was a groan from Kim Namun. The screens of the four gamers flashed identical messages of defeat.
Sorry, Captain, Kim Namun said, rubbing at his eyes. I messed that up.
That was an unusual concession for him. The office was silent by then, their room the only one still lit on the floor. Kim Dokja stretched. Usually his back would hurt after so long spent reading without moving. These gaming chairs really were marvels.
Again.
Yoo Jung-hyuk grunted. Lee Hyun-sung looked about to say something. He bit his lip. They were all exhausted, but the second qualifiers were only 2 days away. They turned back to their screens.
No, Kim Dokja said.
Yoo Jung-hyuk tensed.
Ajisi?
Lee Ji-hae said.
I'm kicking you guys out. Namgun Minyong would kill me if I let you stay any longer. Isn't she always saying that rest is also part of training?
The look Yoo Jung-hyuk threw him was murderous. His teammates didn't dare move.
Be quiet, Kim Dokja.
Yoo Jung-hyuk bit out in a voice that cut like a knife.
Again.
He barked at the other three. As they scrambled to obey, Kim Dokja stretched a foot under the table. He couldn't drag Yoo Jung-hyuk out like Namgun Minyong would have. But as the person who had set up this room, he knew where everything was. He tapped the switch of the adapter tucked against the wall. Every computer instantly turned off. Yoo Jung-hyuk jumped to his feet.
Kim Dokja,
he bellowed.
Out,
Kim Dokja said, to Lee Hyun-sung, Lee Ji-hae, and Kim Namun. The teenagers snatched their bags and fled the room. Lee Hyun-sung was slower. Yoo Jung-hyuk closed his fist around Kim Dokja's collar and hauled him out of his chair.
Captain,
Lee Hyun-sung exclaimed.
Out,
Kim Dokja told him again. His tone brooked no argument. There was no need for anyone else to see this. Lee Hyun-sung wavered, but finally left.
You have no authority to interfere with my team,
Yoo Jung-hyuk snarled in his face.
You haven't cared about the team in weeks, Yoo Jung-hyuk. Otherwise, you would have noticed that in trying to punish yourself, you're just punishing them.
Yoo Jung-hyuk's expression splayed open in shock. His eyes wavered. Then rage took over. His fist came flying. Pain exploded in Kim Dokja's cheekbone. He fell back in the chair, nearly toppling it over. Yoo Jung-hyuk loomed over him, violence written in every line of his body. Kim Dokja watched him without a word. His cheek throbbed in time with his heartbeats. At his continued silence, Yoo Jung-hyuk started shaking. The look on his face was rapidly becoming unhinged.
Why won't you fight back? Why don't you ever fight back?
He whirled around and threw an arm out. Flat screen, keyboard, and water bottle fell to the ground with a resounding crash. Wires hung from the desk, stretched taut like the noose of a dead man. Yoo Jung-hyuk braced himself against the cleared table. Kim Dok-ja let out the breath he had been holding in. It came out quivery. "I'll stay with you," he said. "I'll play with you if that's what you want. But this has nothing to do with Lee Hyun-sung, Lee Ji-hae, and Kim Nam-un." He didn't know how he could fulfill that promise without exposing his Demon King of Salvation account. But Yoo Jung-hyuk needed to keep himself busy. He understood that. This was the only way Yoo Jung-hyuk knew to manage the overwhelming grief inside of him.
"And this has anything to do with you?"
Yoo Jung-hyuk scoffed. The strength of his contempt stung. Kim Dok-ja swallowed with difficulty. The truth was, he couldn't lash out like Yoo Jung-hyuk wanted him to, because his own guilt choked him. "I'm sorry, Yoo Jung-hyuk," he said. The words drifted into the air. Yoo Jung-hyuk leveled a heavy gaze on him. He didn't ask what he was apologizing for. Kim Dok-ja didn't know if it was a relief or not that he understood. Kim Dok-ja had tipped his hand about this weeks ago, but he had hoped that Yoo Jung-hyuk hadn't been paying attention.
"Do you think that your coming last year would have changed anything?"
Yoo Jung-hyuk said. His tone was a blade. Kim Dok-ja's eyes fell to the ground. Shame swelled in his throat. What could he have changed in the end? What had he thought? That his presence could have soothed Yoo Jung-hyuk somehow? What right did he have to apologize today, anyway? How dare he make this about himself? He nodded once, an agreement to everything staying unsaid.
"Namgun Minyong-si will be back soon," he made himself say.
"Do you want to wait for her? I'll get you coffee."
He had to get out of the room, even for just a minute. Then he could mold himself into what Yoo Jung-hyuk needed, or at least as close to it as someone like him could ever get. He made to get up. Yoo Jung-hyuk wrenched himself away from his desk. Kim Dok-ja froze. Yoo Jung-hyuk's legs buckled. Like a great tree felled by an axe, he crashed to his knees. His proud back bowed. He burrowed his face against Kim Dok-ja's chest, his arms around him caging him there. Kim Dok-ja stopped breathing. His eyes stared at the door without seeing it. The wall at the back of his thoughts shook. Something wet his shirt. Only then did Kim Dok-ja's arms fly to Yoo Jung-hyuk's back. He kept him there, close and tethered, as Yoo Jung-hyuk wept without a sound. Yoo Jung-hyuk's grip was so tight it hurt. His breathing was labored, but he didn't sob.
"I should have come earlier,"
escaped Yoo Jung-hyuk's mouth. A whisper, a confession. Kim Dok-ja shook his head. Yoo Jung-hyuk had been leaving work when he had received word that Lee Sol-hwa had gone into labor. He had gone to the hospital as fast as he had been able to, but the taxi had gotten stuck in traffic. He had never forgiven himself for not having stayed home that day.
"It wouldn't have changed anything," Kim Dok-ja said, more sure of this than he was of the sun rising in the morning. "It would have," Yoo Jung-hyuk argued. "It had to, if I had been there."
"It wouldn't have," he repeated, hugging him tighter, wishing him to hear, to believe.
"There was nothing you could have done, Yoo Jung-hyuk. You did everything right." "Then why?"
The shout left Yoo Jung-hyuk's lungs like a weapon. Kim Dok-ja's throat closed. He burrowed his nose in Yoo Jung-hyuk's dark hair. Only when he felt that his voice wouldn't fail him did he say,
"Sometimes there's no answer, Yoo Jung-hyuk. Sometimes we lose, and it's no fault of our own."
The lesson was one that someone like Yoo Jung-hyuk had never managed to learn. He had always barreled through life with his own strength. When he fell, he got back up and tried again. He tried as many times as it took. Kim Dok-ja had always admired him for it. but it made him so desperately fragile against the most pointless cruelties of existence. Eventually, Yoo Jung-hyuk calmed down. His back rose and fell in a hypnotic rhythm under Kim Dok-ja's hands. This wasn't a fulguration, it wasn't anywhere close to one, the immediate physicality of the moment strange and foreign. So why did Kim Dok-ja feel like this?
"You should go home," he said. "You know Mia is going to wait up for you."
Maybe it wasn't wise to remind Yoo Jung-hyuk that in his grief he was failing another person in his life. Mia had barely seen her brother these past few weeks, and she was bound to be beside herself with worry. Unlike Yoo Jung-hyuk's co-workers, she knew very well what anniversary they were on the verge of. Yoo Jung-hyuk swallowed. Slowly, he disentangled himself from Kim Dok-ja. Their eyes didn't meet as he got up. Kim Dok-ja felt the irrational urge to hide the evidence of tears on his shirt. He crossed his arms.
"You'll tell teacher where I am,"
Yoo Jung-hyuk said.
"I will." "How is master?"
"It seems she'll be fine, though she'll stay at the vet for a few days."
"I see."
That was the point where Yoo Jung-hyuk should have left. He didn't move.
"I'm taking tomorrow off."
As annoying as it would have been to hear this any other day, how did this guy think company life worked exactly? Had he never heard of advance notice? It was a relief this once.
"I'll arrange it," Kim Dok-ja said. "Teacher and Solwa will be coming by in the evening."
Kim Dok-ja nodded. A day like this should be faced with family.
"Will you be there?"
Yoo Jung-hyuk said. He wasn't looking at him, his eyes on the setting sun outside. Kim Dok-ja's ears buzzed. Surely he had heard wrong. When no reply came, Yoo Jung-hyuk turned an impatient frown on him. The correct answer was no, of course. It wasn't his place. But picturing Yoo Jung-hyuk alone in his apartment the entire day, Mia at school and no training to keep him busy.
"I guess I'll have to come for lunch, since you won't be bringing it in."
Yoo Jung-hyuk's features relaxed at once. It was so obvious that there was no way for Kim Dok-ja to pass it off as a trick of the light. Yoo Jung-hyuk nodded. He departed without another word. "After a performance like this, I'd suggest looking for another team to take you in," Anna Croft told Yoo Jung-hyuk. "You won't be with us much longer." If any of her fans could have seen her in that moment, they wouldn't have recognized her. Her smile was coldly satisfied. Kim Dok-ja wished suddenly, viscerally, that he could reach through the fulguration and hurt her. But there was no anger left in Yoo Jung-hyuk for her. He had turned it all inward, so he walked away from her, walked away from the worst championship of his career, and dragged himself on a plane back home. He shouldn't have come. He shouldn't have left his wife alone in the wreckage of their lives, and for what? To honor his obligations to colleagues who had never done anything but spit on him? He was a fool. The fulguration closed too soon. The fulgurations always closed too soon these days. The only thing Kim Dok-ja could do was watch, and so he wanted to watch. He watched as Yoo Jung-hyuk and Lee Sol-wa spiraled around each other, two stars in orbit suddenly wrenched off course. Yoo Jung-hyuk tried to cling to her, to offer her comfort, but she was closing herself off in her grief, and he no longer knew how to reach her. The guilt of having left her for those first few days threatened to drown him. Namgun Minyoung was there, her steady voice keeping his head above water, her steady hands taking care of Mia when he no longer remembered how to. Mia's warmth, her hugs, her tears. She had so looked forward to being an aunt. Kim Dok-ja watched it all. He slept poorly himself, ate little. He was there for every stream, logging in early and leaving late. He was swift and merciless with a wave of trolls that tried to flood the channel after the championship. But Yoo Jung-hyuk played mechanically and paid no attention to the chat. His regular audience assumed it was the result of his poor performance in the competition and respectfully stayed away from the subject.
Ghost Fleet.
You're so good with a Red Phoenix Shunpo skill. Would you teach me?
Kim Dokja blinked. Oh? They didn't get many good faith newbies these days.
Ghost Fleet.
I've been trying to include it in this combo, but I can't seem to get the timing right.
Ghost Fleet sent a link. That was an amateur mistake, since Starstream automatically blocked the message and sent it to Kim Dokja for review.
Ghost Fleet.
Aw, it won't show.
Maritime War God.
Oh, you took my recommendation, Jia. I should have warned you that this streamer doesn't look much at the chat room.
Ghost Fleet.
Ah, Uncle.
Usually, Kim Dokja would have ignored it, but it was a YouTube link that she had sent, hardly anything dangerous. So on a whim, he copy-pasted it in a new tab. His eyebrows rose as he watched. It was a capture video of Ghost Fleet's WOS character failing to make its way through a tricky fight.
Demon King of Salvation has sponsored 10 coins. You should take a look at this, YJH.
He sent the link deconstructed so the algorithm wouldn't flag it. In the back of his mind, Yoo Jung-hyuk stirred. The fulguration had been terribly quiet until then, so it was reassuring to feel some movement. Yoo Jung-hyuk stared at the username on his screen. He nudged his mouse over.
Ghost Fleet.
Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Ghost Fleet.
Who is this? How did you see the vid I sent?
Demon King of Salvation.
I'm the mod. I see everything.
Ghost Fleet.
You sound like a creepy Ajisi.
Hey.
Ghost Fleet.
But thank you. That was nice of you.
Demon King of Salvation.
No problem. You're pretty good. Are you trying to go pro?
Ghost Fleet.
I am.
Ghost Fleet.
And don't bother telling me it's not for girls, all right?
Seriously, why has she immediately pictured him as the worst old man on this website?
Ghost Fleet.
I'm prepared to work hard. I know I can make it.
You can. After hours of silence, Yoo Jung-hyuk's voice was like a cool balm applied on a burn. Kim Dokja closed his eyes in relief. On his end of the bond, Yoo Jung-hyuk was still watching Ghost Fleet's video, rewinding parts of it to look at them closer. He felt fully invested in something for the first time in weeks.
Your build isn't optimized. You can do better with this setup, Yoo Jung-hyuk said. PM me.
Maritime War God.
Shocked emoji face.
Ghost Fleet.
Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point.
Ghost Fleet.
Yes. Thank you so much, Master.
Master? What did she think this was? Some martial arts movie?
Mass production maker.
Oh. Is Supreme King going to abandon his faithful game companion for a younger woman?
Mass production maker.
Are you going to let this go, DK?
Demon King of Salvation.
Alas, all flowers are meant to wilt. I shall go into the night quietly and with dignity.
It would be a relief if Yoo Jung-hyuk found another reliable WOS teammate. Kim Dokja only opened the game at his request these days, and he had reached the limit of levels he could buy with coins.
Demon King, get online.
Demon King of Salvation.
What? Now?
Yoo Jung-hyuk felt darkly amused. That jerk. Had he decided to bully him to alleviate his depression? Swearing, Kim Dokja hurried to find the game icon.
A half day off, Kyrgyo said, unimpressed. Have you never heard of advance notice?
Kim Dokja could only bow an apology. He hadn't been thinking straight last night, all right? He had only been here a few months. It felt irresponsible to already use his annual leave, especially in such a busy time at the office, but he had promised. Kyrgios pursed his lips and considered him. Namgun Minyoung popped her head through the door. Sign off on it, she told Kyrgios. She looked tired but strangely cheerful. Kyrgios glared at her.
Is this your brat's fault again?
Grumbling, he waved Kim Dokja away. Namgun Minyoung patted Kim Dokja's shoulder with a heavy hand when he passed her by.
Thanks for the wrangling. See you tonight.
Dinner with his boss again? He really hadn't been thinking straight. That's it. He would find a reason to excuse himself once the first guests had come. He spent the morning dodging questions from Uriel, Lee Hyun-sung, and Lee Ji-hae and Kim Nam-moon. No, Yoo Jung-hyuk wasn't sick. Yes, he would be fine. He just needed a bit of time to himself, that's all. And by the way, Kim Dokja would be gone for the afternoon, too. The coincidence wasn't very subtle, and Lee Hyun-sung brightened at the news, but it only seemed to make Uriel melancholic.
I would have rather multi-shipped for DK, she nonsensically sighed to herself.
At noon on the dot, Kim Dokja was gone. Yoo Jung-hyuk opened the door, wearing a black t-shirt and jeans. His hair was damp. Kim Dokja narrowed his eyes at him.
Were you exercising again? He said. Did you push it too far again, was what he meant.
Yoo Jung-hyuk looked away.
Just jogging.
Kim Dokja clicked his tongue. At least it was better than the punching bag. You couldn't expect too much self-preservation from a sunfish. He dropped his satchel in the entryway and towed his shoes off. Yoo Jung-hyuk stayed there, watching him. When Kim Dokja straightened, Yoo Jung-hyuk frowned and reached for his face. His thumb brushed none too gently against his cheek. Kim Dokja flinched away from the burst of pain. Yoo Jung-hyuk looked at the streak of beige on his thumb with a complicated expression.
Do you mind? Kim Dokja said, annoyed. It took me forever this morning to hide it.
He beelined for the bathroom to check the damage in the mirror. The bruise peeked through the layer of makeup now. Grumbling, he tried to better spread the paste that remained.
Why?
Yoo Jung-hyuk said, looming in the doorway.
Should I have just wandered into work like that and torpedoed your reputation in the office? Take it off. Let me see.
Kim Dokja batted away Yoo Jung-hyuk's hands.
Absolutely not. I didn't bring makeup with me, and I refuse to look like a thug in front of your sister.
Yoo Jung-hyuk hovered while he washed his hands.
Did you ice it?
Of course I iced it. Honestly, Kim Dokja had extensive experience nursing cuts and bruises. He didn't need anyone giving him lessons. Yoo Jung-hyuk still hadn't moved when he put the towel back. Looking at his face, Kim Dokja found himself softening.
It's fine, Yoo Jung-hyuk. It'll heal fast.
He probably had deserved the punch, running his mouth like he had at the worst possible time. Yoo Jung-hyuk had a bad temper, but he didn't make it a habit of hitting people. Yoo Jung-hyuk scrutinized his expression for a long moment. He ducked his chin in a reluctant nod and finally walked out. Kim Dokja followed him to the kitchen. He froze at the side of the table.
Are you expecting the entire neighborhood for lunch?
Yoo Jung-hyuk sat and started loading Kim Dokja's plate from the insane spread.
Eat, he said. We'll go shopping after.
You're going to buy even more food? Kim Dokja deadpanned. Well, cooking for the whole city was certainly one way for Yoo Jung-hyuk to keep himself busy. At the rate things were going, nobody would be leaving this apartment tonight without a week's worth of leftovers. For the sake of everybody's figure, Kim Dokja did his best to disrupt Yoo Jung-hyuk's plans. He spent the grocery trip needling the man about his healthy shopping habits and trying to sneak bags of chips into his basket. In the end, Yoo Jung-hyuk hauled him out of the store by the back of his collar.
Obnoxious, he said,
though without much bite.
Me or you?
Yoo Jung-hyuk shook him like a misbehaving kitten.
Ow, hey, enough, enough,
Kim Dokja said, and tripped over his feet when Yoo Jung-hyuk suddenly stopped walking. Kim Dokja followed his eyes. Yoo Jung-hyuk had zeroed in on a coffee shop across the street. He glanced between his grocery bags and the shop, frowning. Kim Dokja laughed at him.
You're developing automatisms, Yoo Jung-hyuk. Go shopping with Kim Dokja. Get coffee with Kim Dokja. We didn't go last week.
That was true. Yoo Jung-hyuk had already been closing himself off, and he was always the one initiating these outings. As ridiculous as Kim Dokja found them, he couldn't deny that he felt a little bereft. He shrugged off Yoo Jung-hyuk's grip and took one of the bags from him. We're already spending the afternoon together, he said. It's not good for my health or my budget to be drinking that much coffee anyway. Come on, let's get all this in the fridge.
You could get something else,
Yoo Jung-hyuk said as they started walking again. Then why go to a coffee shop if neither of us is going to get coffee? Once the groceries had been properly stored, Kim Dokja resumed his distraction attempts. He managed to drag Yoo Jung-hyuk away from the kitchen long enough to poke at his video game console. This type of game wasn't Yoo Jung-hyuk's favorite, but he had bought the console at Mia's request so the two siblings could play together once in a while.
Are you even trying?
Yoo Jung-hyuk growled, as he pummeled Kim Dokja's character on screen. Why are you going at it so hard? Kim Dokja complained, pride smarting. Why had he thought that facing Yoo Jung-hyuk in his element would be a good idea again? He had stopped putting in effort because there was nothing more humiliating than giving it your all and still getting trashed. Of course Yoo Jung-hyuk objected to that. He tossed his controller on the coffee table.
You're the one who wanted to play, if you're not going to take this seriously.
The front door opened before Kim Dokja could tease him for letting his professional habits bleed into a party game with ridiculous character design.
I'm back, Opa!
There was a hasty shuffle in the hall, the sound of a bag carelessly dropped. Then a young woman barged into the room. Mia was panting. In her worry for her brother, she had made record time from the school. She halted at finding Kim Dokja there.
Who are you?
That useless guy. He hadn't even warned his sister that he had invited a stranger over. Kim Dokja cobbled together a smile.
Hello, Yumiya. I'm Kim Dokja.
Her eyes widened. She looked him up and down. Kim Dokja felt ridiculous hanging on the judgment of an 11-year-old, but he couldn't help the way his stomach tightened in anxiety.
You're uglier than I thought, Mia finally announced. His eyebrow twitched.
Since Yoo Jung-hyuk was a terrible guardian who would never see fit to impart his sister the good manners he himself didn't have, he didn't even scold her. He just got up to pat her head. Wait, was he actually rewarding her? Asshole.
He'll be with us tonight, Yoo Jung-hyuk said.
Then he rounded the couch and returned to the kitchen, leaving them to stare at each other. Kim Dokja had multiple excuses to leave lined up, now that Yoo Jung-hyuk had company, but choosing this moment to use any of the stories he had planned would just sound like he was fleeing from a schoolgirl. Mia was too ornery not to remark on it if he tried. She walked up to the couch and plopped herself on her brother's abandoned seat, as if to state that this was her territory and she wouldn't get intimidated by an unknown adult.
So you work with Opa now, she said.
That's right.
Why didn't you show up earlier?
Ouch. Trust kids to ask the hard questions from the start.
I didn't think Yoo Jung-hyuk would want me to.
Mia frowned.
That's stupid. Why wouldn't he want you to?
Well, I don't know. I thought he found me boring or annoying.
Mia nodded, wisely appeased. You do look pretty boring. His smile was stiff. What was he even supposed to reply to that? These siblings could really make you despair of humanity.
Opa said he didn't get fulgurations because you're sick. Are you no longer sick?
That hit Kim Dokja like a truck. He swallowed, but his mouth was dry.
No, I still am.
How come? Didn't you go to a doctor? Is your doctor bad?
Mia said, looking affronted at some imagined stranger's incompetence.
Kim Dokja made the corner of his lips lift. It's not that simple. You could see a therapist.
The low male voice had every muscle in Kim Dokja's body locking up in anger. He glared behind him. Yoo Jung-hyuk was in the kitchen's doorway, his shoulder propped against the jamb.
And when are you going to see one?
Kim Dokja snapped. He couldn't believe that he was hearing this from Yoo Jung-hyuk of all people. 1 year ago, the man had lost his child and nearly his wife to a miscarriage. He had staggered through his grief to attend a competition that made him the laughingstock of the esport world, then been fired by a colleague who had only been waiting for the first sign of weakness on his part. His marriage had collapsed a few months later, when he and Isolva had realized that they were dragging each other down in a never-ending cycle of misery, that they needed space from each other to heal from their loss. And all through this, never once had it occurred to him to seek psychological help. Yoo Jung-hyuk frowned. Something prickly swelled at the back of Kim Dokja's mind. A moment later, the feeling was forcefully banked by its owner. "Maybe," Kim Dokja heard. The picture of the couch as seen from behind was projected to him. Kim Dokja closed his eyes, the outrage he had been feeling washed away, replaced by a bone-deep weariness. He couldn't stay angry when Yoo Jung-hyuk was actively pondering his words, picking at the way he had lashed at his colleagues these past few weeks, wondering if he wouldn't be a better guardian for Mia if he took that one step. "Heads up, Yoo Jung-hyuk," Kim Dokja sighed. He shouldn't have lashed out. If Yoo Jung-hyuk went to see a therapist, would he expect Kim Dokja to do it too? Since when did Yoo Jung-hyuk heed what others said anyway? Kim Dokja didn't like that. He didn't like it at all. Yoo Jung-hyuk's thoughts halted at the warning, but he didn't immediately work at closing the fulguration. The picture of the living room got clearer. Yoo Jung-hyuk's eyes lingered on Mia, then on Kim Dokja, reclining on the sofa with his eyes closed. Kim Dokja was seized by a weird vertigo. Did he really look like that? That wasn't the way he saw himself in the mirror. There was a strange warm glow to Yoo Jung-hyuk's mind. It was good that Yoo Jung-hyuk appreciated having people with him today, but why was he letting Kim Dokja eavesdrop? Maybe it was backwards, but to Kim Dokja, a fulguration felt more uncomfortable when they both knew it was happening. He saw himself open his eyes to glare at Yoo Jung-hyuk. He was rewarded by a ripple of amusement.
"Fool."
The fulguration finally closed. Kim Dokja turned back to face the TV. Mia looked between her brother and him in fascination. Kim Dokja offered her a controller. "Want to play?" She regarded him for a long, critical moment. She hopped from the couch. "I don't want this game," she decreed, and went to change the game disc. Yoo Jung-hyuk returned to his cooking. Mia proceeded to pummel Kim Dokja in a racing game. Nobody could claim that she wasn't true to her blood. "You're really bad at this game, Ajisi." Kim Dokja twitched. "Ajisi again? What was with everyone younger than 20 calling him that? He couldn't look that old. He moisturized and everything."
"Yep, that's me. Really bad at video games."
But because he was the kind of trash adult who could carry a grudge against an 11-year-old, he took advantage of a well-hidden shortcut in the next level and popped up at the finish line under Mia's nose.
"Hey, no fair, how did you do that?"
the girl yelled. Yoo Jung-hyuk burst into the living room like a bat out of hell. Kim Dokja jumped. That bastard. Was he hardwired to come fist swinging as soon as Mia raised her voice? Did he not trust Kim Dokja in his sister's presence? That actually hurt. He had thought they were past that.
"Oppa," Mia said. "Ajisi totally cheated."
Yoo Jung-hyuk's gaze switched from Kim Dokja to the game's victory screen. He looked deeply suspicious. Kim Dokja gave a benign smile.
"I don't see how I could cheat at this kind of game."
Yoo Jung-hyuk said nothing. He just watched, his expression hair-raising. What was it? Ugh, couldn't the fulgurations have waited a bit and shown up now instead? The ringing of the doorbell saved him from whatever was going on. Mia lit up.
"Is it Solwa, Ani, or Ajima?"
She ran to the hall. The newcomer turned out to be Namgun Minyong. Kim Dokja retreated to the kitchen to putter around Yoo Jung-hyuk, filling the dishwasher and cleaning the counters. They didn't talk, content to let the sounds of Mia and Namgun Minyong catching up in the living room fill their silence. Yoo Jung-hyuk pushed a few peppers at Kim Dokja.
"Another test, Jung-hyuk-a," he said, amused. "If you can't cut these evenly, get out of my kitchen."
Dinner was just about ready when the doorbell rang again. Yoo Jung-hyuk set the soup to simmer before following Mia. Kim Dokja returned to the living room and found Namgun Minyong there. They exchanged a knowing look and stayed, granting space to the reunion happening in the entryway. Mia came back first, looking over her shoulder more than she was paying attention to where she was going. Yoo Jung-hyuk and Lee Sol-hwa entered together, engrossed in a quiet conversation. Lee Sol-hwa was a stunning woman, as Kim Dokja had always thought, even with a sad smile on her red lips. She turned from Yoo Jung-hyuk and blinked at discovering Kim Dokja's presence. This time, Yoo Jung-hyuk had the decency to introduce him himself.
"This is Kim Dokja," he said. "My soulmate."
Lee Sol-hwa's expression brightened in pleasure.
"Hello,"
Kim Dokja said with a bow, a bit startled by her reaction.
"It's nice to meet you, Dokja Si."
"It's nice to be met,"
he replied, and found he nearly meant it this time.
"You'll be with us tonight?"
"I was keeping Yoo Jung-hyuk company," he said, "but I should go now. I wouldn't want to intrude today."
He had decided to just be honest when excusing himself. This was a family event, and Lee Sol-hwa had the right to grieve for her lost child without worrying about the presence of a stranger. But Yoo Jung-hyuk glared at him with great prejudice, and Lee Sol-hwa simply smiled.
"Nonsense. I spent the entire evening yesterday on the phone with my soulmate. She would have been here if she could have."
"Oh."
Kim Dokja awkwardly rubbed the back of his neck. He couldn't remember off the top of his head what country Lee Sol-hwa's soulmate lived in. But those international calls must have cost a fortune. Lee Sol-hwa was estranged from her family, so she had no one else to bring.
"I'll set the table then," Kim Dokja said, off-kilter. There went his escape window.
Dinner wasn't as excruciating as he had feared. Mia was delighted to have both Lee Sol-hwa and Namgun Minyoung there. The two women rarely had cause to cross paths, so the conversation flowed naturally between them. Having them all around seemed to ground Yoo Jung-hyuk in a way he hadn't been in weeks. He seemed content to listen to them and put food in everyone's plates. This was heartwarming and all, but couldn't he keep the affectionate gestures for actual family members? Kim Dokja intercepted Yoo Jung-hyuk's chopsticks as they were headed for his rice bowl, and soon they were engaged in a quiet cutlery war.
"Are you trying to fatten me up for slaughter, Yoo Jung-hyuk?"
Kim Dokja said under his breath.
"Do you know how much I ate at lunch because of your cooking sprees?"
At least Kim Dokja had managed to limit the afternoon rampage enough that all the food could fit on the dining table. Their skirmish brought them to the attention of the others. Sadly, Lee Sol-hwa took that as her cue to attempt to get to know him. Kim Dokja answered as best he could. He wished she would just ignore him. Looking in her eyes felt like torture. Over the years, he had watched her in so many embarrassing contexts. He had seen her at her silliest, seen her devastated and vulnerable, even seen her naked and sweaty in bed, smiling softly at her husband. Didn't she worry about that? Maybe she didn't realize how frequent Yoo Jung-hyuk's fulgurations had been. In fact, Lee Sol-hwa's lack of curiosity about the fulgurations was suspicious. At no point did she ask why Yoo Jung-hyuk had been convinced during his entire relationship with her that he didn't have a soulmate. At some point in the past few months, Yoo Jung-hyuk must have told her about him. It made Kim Dokja uncomfortable. He didn't like not knowing what had been said. Inevitably, there came a moment when the topic segued to the reason they were all here. The child wasn't mentioned directly, but she was on everyone's minds. Her presence shone through the anecdotes the people around the table recalled, snapshots of Lee Sol-hwa's pregnancy. Namgun Minyoung's expression was fond, and Mia's wistful. They had helped Lee Sol-hwa pick out the color for the baby's room in the couple's old house. The minuscule clothes that had been long donated away. Kim Dokja had been looking forward to watching the child grow, too. He had lost many hours picturing what kind of father Yoo Jung-hyuk would be. He had been so impatient to see it happen.
"Wasn't that the point Yoo Jung-hyuk decided you shouldn't be walking around?" he said. "He wanted to carry you everywhere."
Startled, Lee Sol-hwa laughed. "He did, he did," Mia recalled, delighted. "He even carried her to the toilet and back again."
"That's the first I'm hearing of that," Namgun Minyoung said, beaming.
"Kim Dokja,"
Yoo Jung-hyuk growled, looking anywhere but at them. It was unknown whether he was angry that Kim Dokja knew about his moments of doting stupidity or that he dared speak of them. Through her smile, Isolwa discreetly dabbed at her eyes. Kim Dokja pretended he hadn't noticed. After dinner, there was one more concerted effort to give Isolwa and Yu Jin-hyuk space. Mia insisted on showing Namgun Minyoung the new decorations in her room. The girl left while throwing unsubtle, hopeful glances over her shoulder. She had never understood the divorce, and it was plain to see that she was waiting for Isolwa and Yu Jin-hyuk to get back together. Kim Dokja hoped for that too, but he knew it would take far longer than this. Still, he removed himself to the bathroom. Han Si-young's latest chapter kept him company while he sat on the throne. There was only so long he could stay there without inviting mockery from a mean 11-year-old or his ruthless employer, though. So eventually he flushed the toilet and reemerged. Isolwa and Yu Jin-hyuk had relocated to the kitchen. Kim Dokja checked the time on his phone. He winced. Reluctantly, he moved toward Yu Jin-hyuk's domain. He tried not to pay attention to the murmur of conversation wafting from the door, but when he was only 3 steps away, he found himself freezing. Had he just heard his name? Given any thought to the nature of it, what you want it to be? Isolwa said.
I'm not sure yet,
answered Yu Jin-hyuk's voice, a soft rumble in the evening stillness. I see. But you've been wondering about it? A silence. I'm glad, Jin-hyuk, Isolwa said with warmth. Truly. Kim Dokja must have been mistaken. He backed away on silent feet. He gathered the rest of the dishes from the dining room table. The clatter announced his approach, and Isolwa smiled at him when he came in. She had her hand on Yu Jin-hyuk's arm. Yu Jin-hyuk was turned to the window above the sink, arms crossed, in that signature pose of his that only telegraphed his embarrassment to people who knew him. Sorry to interrupt, Kim Dokja said, genuinely apologetic, as he put his dishes down on the counter. But it's getting late. I don't want to bug you, Yu Jin-hyuk, but you've got a big day tomorrow.
The qualifiers are late in the day,
Yu Jin-hyuk grumbled.
Time zones.
Yes, and you're so good at adapting to time zone differences. Yu Jin-hyuk threw him a glare. Kim Dokja returned an innocent smile. Isolhua laughed softly. I have a morning shift at the hospital tomorrow, so I can't stay late either. She patted Yu Jin-hyuk's biceps, then she turned to Kim Dokja. Thank you for being here tonight, Kim Dokja-si. Her expression became wistful. There are things that we can't explain to people with words. Pains that can only be shared by those who know our hearts. I'm glad you're among them. Her sincerity shook him to the core. Here he was, barely able to face her through his shame, yet the only words she had for him were those. It made him feel small. It was so terribly wrong that Yu Jin-hyuk had had to let go of such an incredible woman. Kim Dokja could only bow his head. I'll go say my goodbyes to Mia-ya and Minyoung-si, Isolwa said and left the room. Kim Dokja licked his lips. Yu Jin-hyuk was watching him. It felt like Yu Jin-hyuk was always watching him these days. I'm leaving, Kim Dokja said abruptly. If he stayed too long, he risked leaving at the same time as Isolwa and having to make small talk. He didn't think he could bear it. Do put yourself to bed at a reasonable time, Yu Jin-hyuk, he said. I'm sure Namgun Minyoung-si will tuck you in if you ask nicely enough.
Go away,
Yu Jin-hyuk told him, and turned his back on him to fill the dishwasher. A minute later, the front door opened and closed.